All right. I'm just going to pray a minute. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you for, you know, inhabiting our praises. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Yes, Lord. Just speak. Speak to us, God. Speak to us. Transform us. Free us. Speak to each one. And Lord, I pray that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Okay, so Aubrey and I did not talk.
No way.
So cool.
The coolest thing would be is if that was golden.
Yeah.
Right? Can you make it gold? Oh,
what's the title of your message, honey?
CrossFit training. CrossFit face training. So it's CFFT, guys. Have you heard of it? Okay. You know, you've got HIIT, high interval.
Intermittent.
What's the other?
High intensity interval training.
That one. Okay. This is CFFT, guys. Okay. Anyway, I was thinking about training, and then I was like, CrossFit. CrossFit. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I thought it'd be cool if it was just a cross and then fit, and I thought maybe it's not clear enough. So, anyway. Yeah. So, God's been speaking to me a lot, and it seems like I'm on the same theme a lot, but about trials and training. And I think because I talk to a lot of people that have trials, and and a lot of people aren't doing well with their trials. So I'm thinking, okay, this is a got to get this one. And I really believe that we've been programmed. And I've gave that message as well. Bless you. I also have given you. Oh, whoa! That was the Holy Spirit. If someone didn't know. So that was funny. He sneezed and I don't know what happened. I got hit by the Spirit.
You are being delivered.
Yeah, amen. All right. I believe that we've been again, I just it's so crazy. This subject I think about it all the time, how we were truly given. We weren't given the gospel. Mm-hmm. We were given promises that we would have a problem-free life, that we would get whatever we asked for in prayer, and if we didn't get it, we were mad. Mm-hmm. My rights, my way, I don't understand. I was given this gospel. I was given this gospel. So, but when I read the word, there's nothing in it about an easy life. There's nothing, guys. Actually, it's a super, super hard life.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it about easy. Zero. I don't know if you guys have... if you think about the New Testament, if you think about the Old Testament, just think about the New Testament right now. Does anybody have an easy road? Does anybody in the New Testament?
No.
Why do we then? Why do we expect an easy road? We've been programmed.
Yes.
So we're coming out of a program. I thought that too. You know, I didn't understand why there were trials all the time, or just let me get to that smooth time. I know I say this over and over again, but I just remember literally thinking that right now there's no trial. You know, like I just want this to stay like this for a little while, and then okay, and then the next trial. You know, but that's not how we're supposed to see life, right? God wants to take us to a place where we can be above the trial, and not like this.
Correct.
With all the trials. Mm-hmm. And just knowing there will always be trials. It's just this acceptance. It's just there always will be. Again, it might not, there might be little ones and there might be big ones. Now, when you're in whatever you're in, it always feels big. Then you have a big one and you realize that was big and this is small, right?
Yes.
Or other people in your life that you love are going through a trial. So there's just never a time that there isn't something to overcome. And so we are in CrossFit faith training all the time. I was reading in James, as you know, I don't have it right here, James 1, that we consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance.
Yes.
Right? So important. I was thinking about people I really feel the Holy Spirit right now. Ooh, okay. People want to grow in faith. I want more faith. I want more faith. I want more faith. I want to grow in faith, right? Do you know how you grow in faith?
Yes. Testing.
Yes.
Truth.
Yes. Really. Mm-hmm. If you want more faith, you're going to go through trials. The only way to get faith, the only way to grow in your faith is through trials. The only way to get fit, the only way to get stronger arms is to do weights, right? Weights that fatigue your muscles to then grow the muscles. So you have to get, in a sense, in a trial, fatigued of yourself and letting Christ live through you. So if you think about why would we want to avoid trials if the only way we can grow in faith is through trials. Like really our faith muscles. Yes, you can learn to love him without trials and there's other ways. But if the only way to grow in faith, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance.
Yes.
That's why we count it all joy. We count it all joy because of that. Because our faith, we're going through cross faith training. Our faith will grow. You will learn to trust him more. Every time you go through something, again, it's up to you. This is all up to everybody individually. Go through the trial in a good way. You don't have to.
Right.
You can complain all the way. It's your choice. Depending on how you choose to go through it. Are you going to go through it and say, I'm going to milk this trial for everything that it's worth. I'm going to learn everything I can through this trial. Or you can scream and cry and get angry at God and get nothing. Or you can say, okay, Lord, I want to learn everything I can from this trial. And you become ripped in the spirit.
Can you throw self-pity parties?
No self-pity parties. Nope. Okay, so I want to tell you in the Amplified, faith is an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and love of God. Wait, one second. So faith, I don't have it up there, sorry guys, but it's inherent trust. This is what faith is. Sometimes we think it's this big thing that we can't really grasp, right? Inherent trust and endurance, confidence in the power, wisdom, and love of God.
Yeah.
That's what faith is. Okay, so we're going to look at Hebrews 11. I'm going to go a little bit Hebrews 11 and then more in Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to put that up.
I know.
I should have reminded her to get her PowerPoint ready.
Yes, please. Okay, so I added the love of God part, so that's my own. Okay, so inherent trust. Wait, let me make sure that's just one second. So it doesn't sound right.
Natalie, when you were reading the second, it came to mind.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. earth.
Yep.
The earth produces character.
Yep.
Right
here. Amen. Amen. Which one is that?
It's in Romans 5, 3 to 5.
Yeah. It's everywhere, isn't it? What they went through and what they did and how they stood firm in faith. Yeah, thanks, Ev. So, again, I'm going to read a little bit of it. But so it's God's heroes of faith, and then we have world's heroes, the world's heroes, right? Very different. Very, 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 very. I'm going to read a little bit of what those heroes look like. And yet, as Christians, sometimes we get these mixed up. Like, who are heroes in the world, right? If you're really good at sports or you're super wealthy, I don't know, other things, whatever the world's hero says, right? These heroes are the ones that die for their faith that, oh, I'm going to read it actually, so you'll see all the things they went through. But I was just thinking, wow, God's heroes are very different than our heroes. Even sometimes, I'm calling them the Christian Hollywood elite now. This is the term I have. The big stage pastors and all this. Christian Hollywood elite. That's what the Lord's saying. There's a Hollywood, Christian Hollywood elite that's going to be coming down. Because they're living as the world. So they're not God's heroes of faith. They're not living like God's heroes. God's heroes, I'm going to read in a second in Hebrews 11. But, okay, first of all, I want to read Hebrews. Oh, I got it. There we go. All right. So, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, that's a lot of word there. Okay, now I'm reading the last verse. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained approval. By this kind of faith, the men of old gained approval. So, do you want to gain God's approval?
Yep.
Right? So this is the kind of faith, which I'm going to read in a minute. That's what gets God approval. If you're saying, I really want God's approval, or I really want his, I mean, we have his acceptance, but his approval is through faith, right? We get his approval through standing in faith, through going through things in faith. Another one was like, whoa, 11:6, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, okay, so no one wants to go through trials, right? But the only way you go through, the only way to get faith is through trials. Why wouldn't you want to? And then, this is the big one, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can you imagine? Isn't that weird? So it's like, why do we want to avoid trials? We should be like, yes, this is difficult, but thank you, Lord. Because now I'm going to have faith. I'm going to endure. I'm going to trust you through this. And I am going to please you. I'm going to please you. On the other side, if you shrink back, if you complain, we've all done this. So I'm not saying I'm like, wow, I'm the hero here. I've done this, right? This is for me as well. You're complaining. You're angry with God. You're not pleasing him. So do you want to please him or do you not want to please him?
Yeah.
But by faith, only way to please God is with faith. And the only way to grow in faith is through trials, through
and what
difficult circumstances.
If you fail the second grade trial?
Go again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You go around the mountain again. Yeah. That's also not fun. I will get to that point as well. God's like, okay, here we go again. Round three. Oh, whoops. Okay. Because you know what? He loves us so much that he wants us to get strengthened in that. He wants us to. It's not that he's like this hard taskmaster. No. He's like, okay, Natalie really, really needs this. She's not really accepting this trial that I need to teach her. So we're just going to go around again. Maybe I'll bring it in a few different ways to get her attention. A little different, but it's basically the same message. It's the same message again and again and again. I had this with Joseph and Emily when we were overseas and they were here. And I know I've mentioned this sometimes. And we happened to have not going well with either kids at that point. And I'm in Kuwait and they're here and they're going through their struggles and not communicating. And we're not having a lot of communication. And that was super hard because we're really, really close. So anyway, I was getting stomach aches and I was getting neck aches and back aches and anxious. And in my journal, I keep writing I feel so anxious and that, the same thing. And then the Lord would, give me a verse or something. And then so I went back over my journal. I felt like the Lord said, can you go back in your journal and look when I said, Lord, I tried to talk to Emily and, she didn't, or whatever I was saying, and she didn't communicate with me and I'm so worried. And then I felt like him say, review your journal. I was like, okay, everything is the same on every page. And I was like, I think I need to be admitted to a psych ward because what is wrong with me? Every single time it was the same issue and the Lord was saying the same thing. Next page, same issue, same thing, same issue. I was like, this is creepy. This is creepy. And I'm like, I got to nail this sucker. I got to nail this sucker because I don't want my thing to be, worrying about Joseph and Emily, right? And their well-being and their walks with God. And so I gave that to him because I'm not going to do this over and over again, over and over and over again. And if you watch how you talk to your friends, what trial are you talking about? Is it the same one? And you might even ask your friends hey, do I repeat myself a lot? Do I kind of come up with the same trial and the same problem every time I talk to you? Be honest. Ask your friends to be honest with you. Ask people in the community to be honest.
It's one of the reasons we need community.
Yes. Yep.
We have this demonic of forgetting things.
Because how did I, no one told me. No one told me. It was just all here. Anyway.
It's almost like saying, would you rather be on a roller coaster or a merry-go-round?
Right. Oh, I like that. Yep.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
I've been on the merry-go-round. How many times have you been on the roller coaster? You got to sit down, but it's kind of pumping going forward.
That's right. That's right. Seriously. The everlasting roller coaster. It never ends, right? But it's
on the merry-go-round.
That's true. Oh, my. Yeah, and as you guys know, with the Israelites, I tell you, that story, I can't believe it. I can't believe it that it was supposed to be 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and it took 40 years.
Wow.
It's a prime example, isn't it?
It is. It is. And what were the main things that we all do was complaining, doubting, leaving, worshiping another God, and we might think, I don't have any idols. Okay, just ask the Lord. We can all have our own idols, right? Doesn't look like a little graven image, but we have things that we put before God at times. Just ask him, do I have any idols? So, and they could be your kids. Obviously, they were mine. Because whatever is affecting you, whatever is causing that pain in your body or anxiety means guess who's above God? That issue that's caused you the anxiety, that's caused you the stress, that's caused you the pain and the sickness. You have put that above God. Woo!
Truth.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read. Here we go. All right, this is Hebrews 11:32-34. I think there's another page on it too. So this is just going to give you the heroes of our faith, right? Okay, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, that's hard to say, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith, I'm not going to read all the parentheses, who by faith subdued kingdoms, listen to what they did by faith, subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouth of lions, extinguished the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became mighty and unbeatable in battle, putting enemy forces to flight. Women received, this is a faith. These are our heroes of their faith. This is why God was pleased with them. They stood in faith. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they would be resurrected to a better life. And others experienced the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were put to death by the sword. They went around wrapped in the skins of sheep and goats. Okay? But you have to own a home in Orange County. But these people, you know, were wearing sheepskins with no home, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated, people of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These are the heroes of our faith.
They were renters.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? They didn't put "and renters."
They had bunk beds.
Bunk beds.
And liked it.
And liked it.
So, you know, whenever you start feeling sorry for yourself or why don't I have this? Why do they have that? And I don't have that. And read Hebrews 11. Read Hebrews 11. Nothing is promised. Nothing is promised. I mean, he is promised. He is promised to us. He lives in us. But nothing else is promised. Nothing is promised. Why do we think it's promised? You know? Even like a lot of money in the bank for when you retire. I mean, that's not promised. That's not it's trusting by faith. You know, I was thinking about the term by faith. I don't know if you guys have this, but in mission circles, when someone says, you hear them say, "I'm living by faith," you're like, "Oh, bummer." Like, this is what you feel. Like, that means you're never going to have enough. This is the term, by faith. You're never going to have enough. You're begging from everybody. Good luck. Good luck in your life. But it's so sad that that's turned to be a negative term. Do you guys know that? That term, when people say that? It's never positive. You're not like, "Yeah, awesome." And they're not either. They're not going, "I'm living by faith. It's so awesome." No, they're like, "We're living by faith." You know, and you're like, "Ah!" You know, you're like holding your breath for them. It's not a positive term, but yet it should be. It should be a really awesome term, by faith, right? Because we just saw what all those heroes of the faith did by faith. Yeah, okay, so we're going to go for Hebrews 12. Now, I'm going to read it in the Message because, you know, you get familiar with versions. So I'm going to read this in the Message from Hebrews 12. Okay, I might need to read my glasses here. All right. Okay, so you have all those amazing heroes in the faith, and then it's our turn, right? So in the normal version, just because this is so different that it might look really different, So we just read about the heroes in the faith. It says, therefore, right? Whenever you see that, you always wonder why, right? You heard that? What is it there for? Right. So it's there because we've just seen all those heroes of the faith and all that they've gone through. I'm just going to read this, actually, this one verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded, this is in the Amplified, by such a great cloud of witnesses, right? Oh. So the heroes of the faith they're watching us. Right? So they've done that all. So then, therefore. How are we doing with that, therefore? How are we doing with the baton that was these amazing heroes from Hebrews 11 handed us the baton of faith? How are we doing? How are we doing on this race? Yeah, it's a bit crazy, huh? Like, it's supposed to, they're like, go, go, go! What are they doing? They're going backwards! Wait a minute. I was sawn in two. Can you imagine the guy that was sawn in two? I was sawn in two, And she's upset because she has to live with her parents in Laguna Niguel. Can you imagine? Yeah. I was living with only a sheepskin, living in a cave, and she's upset because...
The sheepskin rug was too...
Because she couldn't own a home in the OC.
Well,
what are we doing? What have we been given? I mean, we have all been given a false gospel, but it's crazy how we were given this. I'm seriously stunned. I think about this all the time because I feel like God's reprogramming me. Why are you thinking like that? Where'd you get that? Why are you thinking like that? Where did you get that? Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. There was a woman that, I was, not in here, not in here. Anyway, another woman, and she's started crying because she has a few homes that she has to redo. And
I hate that.
And she's, this is not my friend, by the way. This is not the one I went to visit. She's crying because there's a lot to do with the contractors. And there's a lot of decisions to make. But she has plenty of money to do it all. But it's stressful. There's all levels, guys. There's all levels. There's all levels, right? Then, you know, we have other believers that have just come to Christ in the country we were in living before, and they're risking their lives for their faith. We have to have God's perspective all the time because the world is shouting. The Christian world is shouting. What do you need? You need more. You need more of you. You need more for you. That's a whole other topic. Okay, back to Hebrews 12. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Okay? What does the enemy like to say to everybody? Quit! It's too hard. Give up. Okay? I'm done. It's not worth it. Guys, you're not the only one. We have all heard it. We have all heard it. If you ever think I'm the only one that hears certain things, guess what? No. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We all hear the same stuff, the same demonic recordings. It's too hard. It's not worth it. People don't listen. No one's done it. It's too difficult. Just quit. Come on.
Nobody's been through it.
Nope. So if you hear don't quit, get up and start running. And like, wow, this is awesome. Because if the enemy wants me to quit, which is not your voice, quit. It's not your voice. It's the enemy's voice or demon's voice. So just a little commercial on that. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is the key to life, and I'm going to keep going on the eyes on Jesus. Not eyes on the circumstance, not eyes on the person that's bothering you, not eyes on you, eyes on Jesus. Always. And it's not just, it's a gaze. It's more than just eyes on, you know, keep your eyes on me. No, it's a loving, powerful gaze, right? That you're looking to him. You're looking at him in everything. Everything we're doing. Looking to him. Eyes on Jesus in this race. Who both began and finished this race we're in. That's a cool thought. He began and finished the race on earth, right? Study how he did it. This is the homework for your life, but especially this week. Study how he did it. Study how Jesus ran his race in the midst of hell. You know, he had fun doing miracles. I'm sure that was great. But I think every other second on earth was difficult. If you read the Gospels, you show me Yes, he was full of joy, so he was never upset. But I'm just thinking, this is unreal. He would do the miracles and see people touched, and that was awesome. But in between all that, a lot of hardship. A lot of hardship, right? So we're going to see how he did it, though. He did it in joy. He did it without getting affected by all this stuff going on earth, right? Yes. Yeah. And our assignment.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Okay. Because why? Study how he did it. So when he was betrayed, what'd he do? When he was slandered, what'd he do? When he was insulted, what'd he do? Right? When he was beaten, what did he do? Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. The exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, right? So we, same thing. It's all about where we're looking. So he never lost sight of where he was headed, the Father, and who he was doing it for, right? So us too, we want to never lose sight of where we're headed, that our eternal home is with Jesus. That's the goal. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, the long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That's funny. Okay, I want to read that thing again because this is so, so, so important. When you find yourselves flagging or lagging, whatever, flagging, I've never used that word, in your faith, getting weak in your faith, go over that story, the story, Jesus' story, over and over and over again, right? Item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you. Okay? That's key. Right there. We got to stop on that. A lot of people think whatever they're going through is the hardest thing that anyone's ever gone through. Even if it's not, even if it's just, I have a lot of decisions to make with my architect. I have plenty of money, but I'm tired of choosing paint and doorknobs, and I'm super tired, okay? Whether it's, I don't know, whatever it is, and there are those that are, definitely difficult hardships. But another thing that as a demonic recording is that no one knows what you've been through. No one's really gone through what you've gone through. They don't really know. They wouldn't understand. You don't really know. Now, maybe that could be true, but Jesus went through it and it was more difficult. Yeah, I know. So you can't ever think, whenever you hear that voice, no one knows really, really what it's like. No one knows.
It gives you a license to feel like that when you say that.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly. Yes, and that's self-pity for sure. So, in this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you. To say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves. Message right there. Don't feel sorry for yourselves. Or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? Oops, sorry. I keep thinking I'm doing this and it's a slide. My dear children, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. So all these trials are training. That's what I'm saying. Training, training, CrossFit, faith training, right? CrossFit, faith training. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off big time. For it's the well-trained, listen to that, who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. Trials do that. I'm not talking about sickness, by the way. Sickness is not the trial. Sickness is not. Now, sickness is not from God. But if somehow we're fighting something, we can use that for training in faith. That I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you when I don't see. I'm trusting you when I'm in pain. I'm trusting you, Lord, for the healing that's coming that Jesus paid for on the cross. So just to make that clear that sickness is not from the Lord. But that we can be trained in anything, right? And I know one time Mark's like, how do we know this is the devil or this is training or if this is an attack? It's like, you know what the good thing is? We grow through all of it. So no matter what, we can grow and then make the enemy pay for if it's an attack. Like, oh, I'm just going to get so much more mature in my faith. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be so pleasing to God. I'm going to, you know, just keep my eyes on God. So either way, there's always growth. And that's what's so beautiful about God being the Redeemer. He redeems everything. He redeems everything. Yes. And just like Bill Johnson says, he can win with a pair of twos, you know, in poker. He can win with a pair of twos, right? He's so good. So don't sit around. This is good. Oh, another way of saying that, Hebrews 12:11. I wanted to read the one that you guys would know more. Listen to this. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, listen to this, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So that's also the fruit of the training, peaceful fruit of righteousness and mature relationship in Christ. Okay, 12 and 13. So don't sit around on your hands, no more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity or that pronoun is God's grace. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two, listen, this is crazy, or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. So, you know, you might think, I only have a little bitterness, like this, maybe this much of the end of my pinky, that's all. That's all, like, I only have this much unforgiveness, because if you have unforgiveness, you know, there's a bitterness. So just like, I just only have one person that I hate and I don't forgive. That's it, one. Out of 8 billion people, one. It's only one, guys. I only hate one, okay? But guess what? It never stays there. Yeah. It's poison. So whether it's bitterness against one person or unforgiveness against one person, you will ruin your entire life if you don't forgive. You don't get rid of all bitterness and all unforgiveness. Because it never just stays right here. It grows.
I was in a prayer meeting last week, and a woman had a lot of problems, and she wasn't getting the breakthrough that she wanted. She literally said in the prayer meeting, I have a right to feel this way. You know, and I'm like, why is her church community letting her get away with such a lie? But, you know, she was so offended with God. You know, she's
so
like,
sad.
I deserve what I, you know. He, you know, and I'm just like, oh, no wonder this woman is stuck in a way that she, you know.
Yep.
Anyway.
That's good. I mean, terrible. But a good reminder.
She had a whole arm of bitterness. I deserve to have this arm of bitterness. God fully understands. Even though he was the one she was mad at.
Oh, that's your Lord.
Yes, Lord. So you're we're the garden, right? So a little bit of bitterness can ruin an entire garden in no time. Okay, watch out for the Esau syndrome. This is really good. Trading away God's lifelong gifts in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. Yes. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gifts in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. Right?
It's at the very end, like almost like last few sentences. Yeah.
Isn't that what happens? How many times does that happen?
Daily.
People don't wait for God. They don't wait for him. They say, it's not happening. I'm going to make it happen. I asked God, okay, I'm married, but I asked God for, not you, I'm a single person right now. I asked God for a husband, and he didn't bring me one. So I'm going to choose now. That never goes well, I have to say. Maybe one in a million, but I've known so many women that have done that. Never goes well. Or it can be anything. We don't want to wait. A lot of times we don't want to wait, right? So we want the short-term fix. We don't want to wait. We don't like to be in pain. But again, what is pain going to do? What are the trials going to do? Right? They're going to give us faith muscles, and then we'll be able to please God. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. So whenever you're trying to take a shortcut, or you want to speed up the process, and you just decide God's not speaking, so I'm gonna have my way. I'm gonna do it my way. I want to tell you. I know we say this over and over. If God's not speaking, don't move. Don't make a decision. If God's not speaking, if he's silent, there's a reason. It means not yet or no. It doesn't mean yes. I just want to tell you. It doesn't mean yes, go. If it's a yes, go, you will know. You will know from the Lord. And you know what? If you don't know, if you're thinking, I don't know, like I say this a lot too, that's why we have community. Meet with people that can pray with you. Meet with people you really respect. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. What are you hearing? Do you feel like am I having a block? Does that mean I'm getting a yes? What do you think? What do you think about? It's a big problem. Wouldn't you guys say? It's a big problem. But we want to run ahead, right? We don't want to wait. But if you think about in the waiting, we grow muscles. We grow faith. Bye, Kevin. Are you leaving? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Sometimes it's even in the good things. I mean, like even ministering to a person. You know, God may not want you to minister to that person
totally.
In that time.
Yep, yep. No. It's asking him about everything.
Yeah.
Asking him about everything. The small things, the big things. Involve him. Like if he's God and he lives in you and he has the wisdom of the ages, like my dad was saying, like everything is created and vastness, and why would you want your way? That's like, are we crazy?
Right.
Like I choose my human, very limited, I can't see about tomorrow what's going to happen. God's like, I know in eternity and I the path, I know how everything works. I know what's best for you. I know what's going to harm you. I know the best path for you. I know you're going to grow the most. But you're like, you're kind of taking too long. So I'm going to go over here. Now, God will go with you. He'll go with you because he's in you. But you just chose your own way. But again, we don't want, like, we don't want pain, right? We don't want the trial. We don't want it. So we want to get it over with. But we don't know what we just did. We just put ourselves in probably more trials. That's what God spoke to me. He's like, my children go through so many more difficult things than they need to because they don't ask me. And then they blame me.
Mm-hmm. Say that one again.
The Lord said that we go through so many more trials and so much more pain than we need to because we didn't ask him. But he said, then they blame me.
Oh.
But they didn't ask him. They didn't ask him.
Right.
But then they blame him when it doesn't go well, even though they chose it. Because there's this doctrine that's not true. It's like, I decide what I want and what I think is awesome. I dream about what I want, and then I'm telling God, come with me, and you better bless me, and you better make this happen, because it was my dream, because you told me to dream big. Okay, no one said that, actually. I know that's a theology, and that's their books out there, and I used to read them, and I used to do this, but I didn't read that in the scripture. To dream big, dream what you want. What do you want in life? Dream, and then go for it, and then God will bless your dream. I don't see that. I see surrender. I see dying to myself. I say, you know what, God? The best dream I could have is so limited. I'm like, God, you give me your dreams for my life, and I want to do those. You give me the dreams, the everything you want me to do in my life. Show me. I'll do that. But that might not be something wow and big and everything. It might be, okay, every day you go out and you give love.
Yes.
Can you do that? I mean, one of my dreams or my things I think would be so cool would be have a ministry school. I think it'd be amazing to have a ministry school. Maybe that's not God's dream for my life. So I'm just like, that's really cool. I'm not like, if that ever happened, that'd be cool. That's what God wants. But I mean, I don't want to make that my life goal. I must have a ministry school, Lord. I must, okay? I must have one. Give me a building. Give me the people.
Prophesied, though.
I know, right? Prophesied. It was. Again, but if that's not God's dream for my life, I don't want it.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's not what, like, don't you want to accomplish and do everything God destined you to do?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
When I get to heaven, I want him to say, you did it. You did it. You did the calling I had on your life, you know? And what is that daily? It's surrender. How is it guaranteed that you will? You surrender every day. You surrender your plans, your life, your dreams, your ideas, your thought, everything. Lord, okay, today's the day. Today's a new day. My life is yours.
Just for your info.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
No,
it's good.
I want you to keep going.
Yeah.
You're preaching the skin off a corpse right now.
When Kevin was walking out, it was starting to say, in the waiting, and I wrote that down.
Oh, okay. In the waiting, we grow, right? In the wait. So if that's part of it, we don't want to be in pain. We don't want to be in pain. We want the trial to be done, right? But the waiting is so important. That's when we're growing. That's when we're doing the hard lifting, right? We're doing that. We're starting out with the fives. We do that for, you know, I know that the men won't relate with this, but you know, then you're like, you know, maybe in the next 2 weeks you pick up the tens, you know, and you're growing, you're waiting, right? And then you're growing strong. Does Marlon want back in? As I'm doing this, you know. Like waiting is never a waste of time. Never. Waiting is never a waste of time. Wait, it's no waiting. Like I know Aubrey says, there's no waiting. Don't use the word waiting. Oh, is that the word, right?
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's like, waiting is like a boring term, like waiting. It seems like a waste of time. Yeah, it's like useless, right? It sounds like it's a useless time. It's, no, waiting is powerful.
And it carries discontent.
You're right, yep.
And if you want the trial to be over, you'll be discontent until it's over.
That's right.
Can't care for
I like hoping instead of waiting.
That's good.
Those who wait in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in other translations, those who hope in the Lord.
Yes.
Strength.
Amen.
So I think hoping is like just staying in hope and like.
Yeah. That's so good.
How about enjoy the journey?
Yes.
Because it's all a journey.
Yeah.
Right?
Then your entire life is a journey. You know?
We'll enjoy it.
Yeah. But like maybe even like you're in a time of. Yeah, like Mark and Andy, right? Like you're waiting to hear what the next step is. But in that waiting is, or in that hoping, is growth and joy and the kingdom can be advanced in all of it.
And meeting Kevin.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm waiting to come to church, though, once every 6 weeks. It really bushed me.
Oh.
No, I'm not kidding. If I don't get here for, I just hate it.
Oh, we're so glad you came.
I know.
Wow.
We pray it's more often.
I go to church with my father, and it's okay, but if I don't get here to see
you,
I'm really not kidding. I just can't take it.
I'm so glad. Oh, I love that.
Waiting too is hoping, which is really a good word.
Yeah.
I think it's transforming too.
Ooh.
That's what's happening to us. Like,
awesome.
Like waiting. First of all, I don't wait for any of you examples.
So, used to. The new mark.
Yeah, thank you. I think he's talking to watch your words because you can really get sick from them using the wrong words.
Right.
So that was a good word for me. But I think it's transforming for us.
Mm-hmm.
The waiting is more of a transforming.
Yes.
And we got to look at it as, a, like you said, as a joy, as a blessing, as a,
yeah.
It's growing.
Right.
Because then you don't get frustrated by it.
Yeah.
And you know that's why I keep thinking of all those men and women that the Hebrews that went through this. How in the heck did they get through this?
I know.
How did they endure this?
Yep.
And it was really this waiting and hoping and trusting.
And all of them were before the cross, before Jesus, before the born again experience.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more convicting.
It is.
They had less access, less resources than we
right?
do, and they were able to do all that.
Yeah.
That should be a serious behind.
Yeah. That was so funny. I wonder where all my notes went, and they're here. I put them over here somehow. Okay, so I just want to go back to the eyes. Did I already read that? Yes, okay. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But by then it was too late. Tears or no tears. Okay, that's very scary. All right, but I just wanted to focus in on eyes. The eyes. So, where's that? Back here. That we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. So I was thinking about how did they do that? Like, how did they? And they were keeping their eyes on Jesus, but it was not just like that, you know, like standard attention. No, it's the love, right? It's the love. It's the eyes of love on Jesus. And then I was thinking about in in Revelation 2, when the church in Ephesus is the one that had all the endurance and you know, didn't buckle under persecution and they, you know, had no evil in their group and in their church and everything and all these great things that they said, but they had lost their first love. So I was like, how do you do all that and not have love? How do you do all that? And I just feel like I was speaking today about that if your eyes, so their eyes were obviously on the trial and not on Jesus, because you can endure, like, I will endure. I will get through this. I will not bow under persecution. I will not tolerate evil. But if it's kind of your, it's almost like a religious way of keeping your eyes. You're keeping your eyes on the religious way. You're keeping eyes like, I will obey.
That's
Right. But you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus. So even though it looks like somebody is enduring, you can endure without having love for Jesus. Because you keep your eye, like almost like military, right? You're keeping your eye on the prize, and you will get through this, and you will defeat, but you've lost your first love. So we have to know where our eyes are all the time, right? Where are our eyes? In the lukewarm church in Revelation 3:16, they saw no need. They had everything they needed, and God said, you're neither hot nor cold. So their eyes... And they were rich, and they had no need of anything, right? So their eyes were on themselves, right? Like their themselves. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Eyes on self. We don't want eyes on self. We don't want eyes on trials or enduring. We want eyes. We don't want eyes on what's the other one? Anyway, self or on trials or on people. Or on just enduring in itself. You know, we don't want our eyes on that. We want our eyes on Jesus and eyes of love. And so in Revelation 3:20, I'll just read that really quick, where he invites, and that's the lukewarm church, he's saying, Revelation 3:20. Behold, this is the lukewarm church, right? He's saying this to them. Behold, I stand at the door and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. And that shows the intimacy, right? You're sitting down, you're across the table, you're eye contact with Jesus. You're communing with him. That's how you get away from the lukewarm, right? But your eyes, not on self, eyes not on trials, eyes not on the task. Even the task of preaching the gospel or bringing the kingdom or enduring under pressure and persecution. No, our eyes have to be on him the whole time. Just like his eyes were always on the Father and on heaven, right? He always knew what the Father was doing. He always heard what the Father was saying. Why? Because he had his eyes on the Father. He had his ears toward the Father. And that's how he was able to get through everything he got through. So, from Hebrews 12:3, meditate on Jesus' story and not on your own. That's very, 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 very important. Meditate on Jesus' story, not on your own story. It's easy to do. Meditate on my own story. It's easy. You know, you find your mind goes to that, right? I feel the Holy Spirit right now. Yeah, the default is to meditate on my own story. So we wanna meditate on his story, and that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we read the Word of God. Over and over and over and over. And if you find the Word of God boring, we need to pray for you, because that's demonic.
What?
If you find the Word of God boring, if you find it boring, because you want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and teach you and speak to you and feed you. The only way you're going to get that truth and the only way you're going to know Jesus's story isn't just by thinking like, just maybe reading, oh, I read it like a month ago. I read, you know, Matthew a month ago. I'm sure I can do that. No, it's every day reviewing his story. And when you're going through a trial, even more so, review his story, not your story. Review his pain. Review how he went through such persecution, not how you're uncomfortable.
I think before current events too, the
world's
story.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. His story. Review his story. Whoa, I feel the Holy Spirit on that one so strongly.
It's also good that you took us to the message tonight, because it feels like we're reading a totally different account.
Right?
With the same message. So, mm-hmm. The message. So yep. That's an encouragement. You know,
yeah.
If you're so familiar with the Bible translation,
yeah, right,
that you have wrapped around your waist,
yeah,
that, you know, some of us are very loyal to our translation.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to do something different.
Like you said, Aubrey.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
A paraphrase is
yeah.
a paraphrase, but it's to get you to think differently.
Yep.
And then you go back to your old version and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I misunderstood that, or I understood that in a certain way.
Yeah. I had the NLT, the ESV, the Amplified, the Message, and the TPT out.
Wow.
All looking at those. And a commentary.
Wow.
I wanted to see what it was saying all across, you know, and draw from it. It's very exciting. It's very exciting, you know?
I was thinking, you know, when you're talking about the story.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, when you listen to somebody else's story, or you listen to my story, it's pretty boring. Not the story of Christ living.
Yes. Yes.
No, really, truly. I mean, I've listened to billionaires and millionaires. Story, and there's no spiritual,
right?
There's no Holy Spirit in it. It's boring.
Yeah.
And it really, if I'm just going to tell a story and there's Christ is not part of it,
yeah,
it's basically a boring story.
Totally.
And so I think we ought to really be thinking about when we talk to people about our story,
yeah,
bringing Christ in it.
Yeah.
Just shut up. It's boring.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I did this and I did that and I was that back then and then I was that back then and who the who cares?
Like Jesus is doing,
yeah.
Europe,
yes.
Now there's a story.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? When you're in the business world, by the way, when you're trying to sell a product in the business world, you have to know what the story is. You got to tell the story.
Yes.
People got to be compelled about the story to buy from you.
That's right.
They're not going to be compelled from your story.
No.
But if you tell the story of what Christ is doing.
That's right.
Which we were doing with neighbors across the street today.
Awesome. Wow.
We were talking about Christianity and all, everything. Catholicism. But it gets interesting and it gets powerful when Christ's story is infused within your desires.
Yes.
Your story is boring.
That's right. That's right. Totally.
I repent for telling my ski stories this week to you guys.
Dude, I would have liked
it. Yeah. I know, right? Okay, so we're gonna do some. I have some questions. Oh, whoops! I'm not gonna put those up yet. I learned that as a teacher. Don't put them up yet.
Right.
Okay.
You want to turn that off?
I want to do one thing. I just got to look up this. I want to say the things on my, but where it says, oh, here. Okay, guys, one last verse. So Hebrews 12:3. I just said this, but it's going to finish it. Just consider and meditate on him. This is the Amplified. Who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. And then in parentheses, consider it all in comparison with your trials. So meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider all in comparison with your trials so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet struggled to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. Okay, anyway, that's before. But that one, that really stood out to me. If you have grown weary and lost heart, if you are tired, weary, faint heart, or heart sick, there's a problem. You have a big problem. But tonight, you can fix that. Tonight. Because what's been happening, the reason that you're tired and weary, you've grown weary and you've lost heart, is because your eyes have been on you. Or your eyes have been on the trial. Your eyes have been on a person, not on Jesus. So what he's saying is, that's scary though, to lose heart and grow weary. Because what happens when that happens? Yeah, you die. Right? The it's a big mess in front of you when you lose heart and you grow weary. Compromise happens. at that point. So what we're going to do, though, is take that to the Lord. Any area where you've lost heart or grown weary, it means you focused, you took your eyes off of Jesus and meditate on his life and what he did. Know his story, how he did it, how he endured things, how he loved. Not quite done. I'm just going to... Okay. And you will not grow weary. Can you imagine? You fix your eyes on him and you will not lose heart and you will not grow weary. I always like these things, these clues. So like, it's like, when I'm tired, we were talking about tired today. If I'm tired or I'm weary, I'm doing something wrong. Cause there's never supposed to be tiredness or weariness in the, like it going on and on. It might be, okay, I feel weary. Okay, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. But you just come for that minute. You don't have a perpetual state of weariness and losing heart and discouragement. If that's the case, you're doing it wrong, right?
The spirit of slumber that could be on you.
Yeah, totally. I think also if you're physically, are you guys around still? Can you hold Gideon for a minute? Okay, sorry. I'm like wrapping it up. The power punch. All right. So we really, 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 I'm going to say really like 13 million times right now. I know way too many people that have lost heart and grown weary, that are tired in this life. If you are, you can repent tonight and change course because it means you've had your eyes on you, on the circumstances, and not on, not on, okay, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes on you. So what do we do when we keep our eyes on him? Just like in James 1, right? If you need wisdom, ask him and God will give it to you generously, right? So whatever you need, ask him. If you're like, wow, this is hard. Okay, I need strength. Okay, great. Okay, I need joy. Okay. Okay, I need perspective. Okay. What do you need? Right? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is available to us from Ephesians 1. So what do you need? Nothing. We lack nothing. Even energy. We were talking about, again, this like what you said, the spirit of something. If you're always saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, physically tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Guess what? Change something.
Yeah.
Change your perspective. Maybe change the way you eat. If you eat a lot of carbs and sugar, I'm sorry, in the natural, you're going to be tired a lot. It's just true.
And wouldn't the enemy want to make you more tired if you're doing a lot of things in the kingdom?
Yeah. 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 So there's a weary tired, there's a soul tired, and then there's a physical tiredness, right? But again, even what Aubrey was saying, and my mom and dad about the fasting is that, and Dave, of course, is that so much of it's mental. Fasting is mental. Guys, we have a lot of fat on our bodies. Like, okay, maybe Diane doesn't, okay? Diane doesn't, all right. But guess what? And Andy. Okay, Diane and Andy, all right? All right. Everybody else, guys, everybody else, we could lose at least 20, okay? I could easily lose 20 and I'd be fine. So I'm just saying, like, you're not going to die of hunger. That's not true. Like, you're not going to die of hunger. You're going to be okay, right? There's this lie that you have to eat 3 meals a day and the whole deal. It's so weird. So it's not true. You don't have to eat 3 meals a day, guys, okay? That's a whole other subject, actually. It makes me mad. There's a program. I'm screwing my head off right now. I'm so mad. I'm so mad at these programs. These things, just let me pick up my weight. Let me eat my 3 times a day and then make sure I have snacks in between. And meanwhile, we're getting sick, you know? That's such a not related to the topic right now.
Preach it.
But there's programs that we're under that cause weariness, that cause tiredness, that cause us to be faint of heart. And we don't want that. So tonight we're going to repent of that if you feel that. And then, here's my boom, boom, ministry time. All right. So the first one is, and it's not, these aren't all, these are just options for ministry time.
So this is to prepare
time.
You to come to the
Yep. I'm going to say this on the recording here. First one, ask for forgiveness for wanting the easy way. If you want to be like Jesus, his way was not easy. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask for that easy way. Whoa. He had a very, very, very difficult path. and yet did it with joy and did it with keeping his eyes on the Father and on the prize, right? He did it for us. He did it for love, right? That's how he endured. He did it for love, love of us, love of the Father. Okay, think about a trial you're in and ask God how he wants you to see it in a new way. Three, submit to the training of the Lord. No more resisting nor complaining. If you've not submitted to the training of the Lord and you're wrestling with him back and forth, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like, tonight's a new night. It's not like you have to go home and grovel and, you know. No. You just ask for forgiveness and it's done. And then you're like, okay, Lord, now review. Now show me the new way. I submit to your training. I submit. You know, can you imagine you go to a gym and you're like, hi, I just signed up for CrossFit and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Can you imagine? You walk in. I'm only coming once a week and I'm coming for 5 minutes. Okay. I'm not, if I start sweating, I'm going to leave.
All the results.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, I'm done. Okay. And you're telling the trainer what it's all about, right? That's what people do with the Lord.
But that's
it's so true. Five minutes of training. All right. I'm good.
Right. I'm done. I'm tired. Listen, did you see this one? What is this? I'm not doing this. Right?
There's like books in the Christian bookstore, like 1 minute quiet time.
Yeah. Yes.
5 minutes with God. I mean, and I'm going to get all the benefits. I'm going to get all of it. And heaven is just face palming it up there going, why are people buying these books?
Yep. Okay, four. So you know what? We can enjoy the training. Like, we can say, God, give me the grace for this training right now that I'm in.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a journey.
Right? Because Jesus always had joy.
Yeah, which meant great. The trials were fun.
Because he kept his eye on the prize. I don't know if they were fun, but it doesn't seem like... I mean, but he... Because he...
No, it's more he kept the joy.
Right.
Despite the crap happening.
Yes, 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 yes. Because he always had his eyes. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm going. I know what I'm doing.
He also knew what God was doing.
Yes. Yes.
He wasn't like, oh, hopefully something good is going to come out. Like, he knew what God was doing.
Yep.
So he could stay joyful throughout, no matter what circumstance happened.
Yes. It's so
we
beautiful.
We need to know what God's doing in our life.
And your trial is training you. God put you through the trial to train you.
Yeah.
To develop you.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to it.
Yes.
Everyone would think that was stuck and other things.
That's true. There's a big
purpose.
There's
a purpose to the
trial. And he trusts you with it. Yeah. I mean, that's huge. The fact that God Almighty trusts us to carry the baton.
Mm. Yes.
Well, but also has given us what we need inside already to do it.
Yes, that's right.
Right? He won't give us something that we can't handle.
That's right. Okay, I want to say something about baton. I'll be done, but and then these two more. I'll do this, and I'll post something about baton. Okay, number four. Have you lost heart or grown weary? Repent and ask God for a new perspective. Where are you looking? And then ask for forgiveness for self-pity, that if you think you're the only one, or why me? Why do I have to go through this? I don't like it. And choose to meditate on Jesus' story. Pick up the baton. Oh, that's good, because I'm going to say something about it. Pick up the baton and go! Okay, we can turn it off, and then I'll say something else about the baton.